Digicom Weekly Growth Marketing Podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into our Digicom Growth Marketing Podcast. This week we have Alex Luna. Alex Luna is the VP of Growth at Ever Eden. It is a family skincare brand. We work alongside Alex to run and manage his digital acquisition program. Alex is super, super, super insightful and very, very passionate. He has a ton of experience in digital. And Alex, thanks for jumping on our podcast this week. Very, very excited to, you know, have you on call. You are a partner of ours that delves very deeply into, you know, all things digital, all things we do for Ever Eden. And what's great is I get to learn a lot from you as you're asking some of these questions, or it forces us to dig or think different. And so, you know, I'm very excited to have you on today.
No, thanks, Hemen, for having me. Super happy to be here too. I learned a lot from you guys too. And I think it's our relationship and collaboration is proof that the whole thing about being part of the same team actually is possible, because I do feel like you guys are part of my team. And I like to think that I'm also an extension of your team somehow.
100%. There are questions that you have asked us, which we've like look to solve for, which has impacted also like other partners we work with, in the sense of like, oh, we should be thinking about something in this way, right? Which is really great to be challenged and asked, and really appreciate it.
No, and you guys have been super open to it as well. That's another thing, like everything that I ask you to look into, you do it and you come back with a very strong proposal or answer or insights or follow-up question, which is definitely also helping me to think better about the business too.
Amazing. So for our listeners, can you please tell us a little bit, you know, about yourself and your journey through e-com and marketing?
So I'm currently the VP of digital for Ever Eden, and I've always been in e-com, digital marketing, always been a bit of a nerd. My journey has started in e-com at Louis Vuitton. Long time ago, more than 10 years ago now, I was part of the digital content team, and I transitioned into a proper e-com role a few years later. And actually, I was in New York. I used to live in New York, and I worked for LVMH at Christian Dior. So I've been with big brands at the beginning of my career when digital was pretty new. So we had lots to do. We had lots of testing, lots of learnings. It was really, really cool. Bigger budget as well. And then I transitioned into more like a startup world, where I moved to London in the UK and I worked for a fashion company as the head of digital. And it was a startup. So when you work in a startup, you do a bit of everything, which I really, really like, actually. And then I continued my journey into a hotel, again in digital, and now at Ever Eden, where it's a premium family skincare brand. And I lead up the digital business for the brand. And same thing, I started by doing a bit of everything, acquisition, retention, all the channels possible. And it's been a lot of fun. And I'm very happy, actually. I started my career in e-com, and it was the right move for me.
That's amazing. You know, it really spans, like, there's a lot of breadth and depth in terms of your experience, right? And all of the different places, whether it's creating digital transformation for a business or leading, right? In digital, what would you say is like the part of digital that you love? For example, you know, some, like for me, I love running paid media or talking to clients. Very much I like digging into the data, right? Like, I love that part of digital. Other people like creating ads. Other folks love to work through e-commerce and set up all of the operations. Like, what do you love in digital?
I think I love the data, man. I'm a bit like you. I'm a bit of a nerd. And I think what I like about data is, and that's maybe very specific to digital, is you can have instant feedback on what you do. So you set up a test, there is a million things to learn. And that's maybe the main thing with digital is, of course, there is lots of experts, but at the end of the day, the data is king, and the data is telling you who's right and what you should do next. And what I like about digital is most of the things you try are trackable. So then you can have instant feedback. Is it working? Is it not working? And I think it makes my job easier, but also harder, because then if it's not working, you quickly have to pivot. because you know it's not working, so you should try something else. And at the same time, you learn by having this instant feedback, and you can grow by building on successes that are trackable, where you have evidence that the stuff you're doing is working. And as a nerd that I am, I like this stuff. I like having access to all the little details, the little things. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And, you know, it's how do you build a program, right? I think, we've talked a lot about like a stepping stair approach, right? Where it's like, instead of growing like linear or exponential, and those are, you know, the goals, it's like, okay, how do we ladder up the small wins that turn into bigger wins that turn into bigger wins? And okay, right now there's a like market slowdown or an account slowdown or X slowdown. So like, how do we pull back and optimize? And then, okay, what are the next sets of wins in market right now? Right. So it's, yeah, it's always getting that data and that, you know, response fairly quickly, you know, within like 2-3 days, like we almost always know what's actually going to work or what's not, where we should be pivoting.
No, that's true. It gets addictive. Actually, that's one thing I just realized. It gets addictive. Like, you know, the first thing I do, man, every morning, I just log onto the analytics and I dig into the analytics straight away. And then you find something else and then it opens another door. And then you get through this other door, which opens another door, and you can get lost in the amount of data we have. So it can be dangerous, but it can also open lots of opportunities. And it's just a good way to know about your business, know about the work that you do, because it's really frustrating for anyone to do a lot of work without knowing if it's working. Are you on the right track? Are you just getting lost in something that doesn't really matter? At least for us, we have the luxury to know quite instantly if we are on the right track. I really like this.
So, you know, as you've been going through your digital journey and of course leading, you know, all things growth and e-com at EverEden, what is a piece of advice you can give to startup founders, or, you know, to heads of growth or folks that are starting their digital journeys? And I know maybe it's a couple different answers for, you know, each person, but like, you know, what are a couple pieces of advice you can give folks that are looking to build their business digitally?
If you're looking to build a business, there's a million things you could be doing. There's a million things you could consider. There's a million channels. There is a million strategies, tactics, tools that you could be implementing and looking into. And I think that can become a trap where you just get lost. And I think my recommendation would be find 2-3 things that really move the needle for your business and get really good at it before you start doing a million things. So, of course, digital, you could be looking at paid media, you could be looking at SEO, you could be looking at CRM, email, SMS, you could have a loyalty program, you could do subscription, you could do so much, but it's actually really difficult to make everything work. And if you're a startup, you really don't have the resources, the budget to make everything work. So I would say try a few things. And then once you find 2 or 3 channels or tactics that are working, just focus your attention on scaling those. As an example, like if you do paid media, I would start with the basic, making Meta works, making Google works before you can go into a TikTok, a Pinterest, a Snapchat. There is just so many things that require a lot of testing, learning. It has a cost at the end of the day in terms of ad budget, in terms of creatives, in terms of team members as well or partners. It's really difficult to have everything working right away. So I think my advice would be patient, find a few things that are really working, make them work really hard for your business, and then get them to a point where you can then move on to the next one.
That's amazing advice. And, you know, I've been speaking a lot about channel market fit, right? And so in marketing classes, university, it's always like, hey, what is, you know, price, place, product? And then also like you're looking for product market fit. But I think in today's world, there are so many channels that you can consume, whether it's content, it's by products, right? And I think today, because I'm bringing this up because you spoke about Meta and Google. I think today it's less about full scale product market fit and more channel market fit. And what does that mean, right? There might be a specific product category that works way better on Instagram than it does on, say, TikTok, right? And that's just because the audience on each of these platforms can be so vastly different. And sure, you have different like optimization and targeting layers, but you know, in terms of channel market fit, you can find channels that work really well with a specific product class and group that you can scale and grow the business around, and then only to take that product to move it somewhere else. And, you know, it might work, it might not work. You have to test and learn. But channel market fit, I think, is very important. What are your thoughts around this?
No, I agree. And you have brands who've built a business just on TikTok Shop, as an example, because they knew that the product they had spoke to an audience who is on TikTok, but might not be on another channel. Like for some products, it's an instinct. It's a quick buy. You just see the product, you love it, but you have to see the product to think about it. You're not going to search for it on Google because you might not even be aware that it exists. But then you see a live demonstration and then you have a really cool set of assets, videos and content that you see on TikTok that really sell the product, because there's the only way to really sell the products is to demonstrate the value, how to use the results. But you didn't even know this kind of product existed. So for a brand who has this kind of product, there is no need to do a Google search type of thing or display or getting lost in SEO and all the things. It's just finding the right channel where your audience is. And I would say maybe the thought process is, what's the best way to demonstrate the value of the product? Is it video? Is it recommendation from a doctor? Because if you are in a healthcare industry, you need some authority to push your product. And the authority might be harder to build on TikTok, because why would I trust just a random guy on TikTok? I need to trust a doctor for this kind of thing, or someone who's an expert, a professional. So really think about what's the best way to show and demonstrate and prove the value of your product, and then think about the platform that allows you to do it. And you're right, you can't be everywhere, because some platforms will just not be relevant to you. So that's big in the competition as well. It's another thing. If we expand to, let's say, Amazon has so many different brands and different products. A product might be terrible for Amazon because the margins are terrible. The competition is so vast that you have no chance if you're not an early adopter. And the platform and the shopping experience on Amazon might not be the best fit for your kind of product, because you need to experience it, you need to try it, you need to smell it, you need to see the results. So you really have to think, where should I be present and what's the best way to show the value of the product I'm selling?
Yeah, and I love that you brought up show the value of the product, right? Because with consumers just going through the troves and troves of content that they're looking at, you only have a short amount of time to tell the value of your product and get your brand across, to get someone to click and then want to digest more information, right? And more information and more information. So getting the value across is very important. Yeah, I love that you said that. Where do you see digital going, you know, in the next 2 to 5 years? What do you see becoming a little bit more and more prevalent?
So, you know, I've been thinking about this one, and of course I'm going to say AI, but AI, the way I see it is, I think it opens the door to a lot of people to get into the digital e-com space. And I'm going to give you an example. I'm thinking someone tomorrow wakes up and say, hey, I want to launch an e-com business. They don't need to have experience to be able to launch the e-com business. You can have a whole website coded for you, launched for you in a matter of a day, not even a day. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot more sellers that are going to have websites, social media accounts. So you'll have a lot more competition. And I think it forces every one of us to think, how can I show the difference and the value? Again, coming back to the value of the product, how can I differentiate myself to the thousands of sellers that are going to open a website very easily, who are going to have access to automated tasks using AI. And we can use it as well, of course, like everyone can use ChatGPT and all the AI tools to create content, videos and all that. But then it becomes a question of, we all have the same weapons. How can we be better than others? Because before, you had expertise, you had experience that was something that no one else could leverage because it's yours. But now everyone can catch up on that with AI and all the tools available. So it forces every one of us to think harder as to, how can I offer better experience? How can I use the data that I have access to in a way that's going to help me find the right insights, so then I can speak to my consumer better, or I can be more relevant, or I can prove that I'm better than my competitor who offers also a beautiful website and customer experience and social accounts and assets and all that stuff. I think the bar is getting higher to convert and to convince someone to shop with you. And it's funny because a few months ago, I shopped from a website that looked extremely professional. It looked beautiful. Assets were amazing. And actually, the quality of the product had nothing to do with the visuals. So I think, I don't know who is behind this website, but they've done a really good job at using all the tools and the branding, best practices and all that to convince me to shop for the first time, but I'm not going to come back to it because it's easy to get the first sale, but how do you engage me in the long term?
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I think profitability and break-even point on first order is, it's very important, but like where brands really are able to scale and, you know, build brand awareness equity is in long term. And a lot of that comes from the product quality and the service quality. And that's very, very, very important. I think with this same conversation, authenticity, right? Like right now, there's a lot of influencer, there's a lot of UGC that's out there. And my hunch is we're going to shift back to a lot more branded ads in like the next 2 years. And why I say this is because everybody is taking this, you know, I'm being like uber authentic. And at some point, I think the end consumer is going to say, what do I believe? It's just, what do I believe in and why? And, you know, I think we're a couple years out from that mindset shift, but I think it's going to happen at some point. It has to, like, right? So I don't know. That's my hunch for 2026, 2027.
AI can't create. AI cannot create brand authenticity. AI cannot create, at least not right now, the quality of product that the human brain, the human vision, the hands, and just the way that we do business. AI is just a tool to help you to expand your reach and showcase your product. But the vision itself has to come from you. And that's not something that you can fake, or at least you can't fake it for too long, or you're going to go bankrupt and then the real ones are going
to
stay.
This field, there's always so much to learn and so much that's always changing. What's one question you wish I had asked you and how would you answer it?
Maybe what's the favorite part of my days? Because of course, every day is very different and it's filled with meetings and looking at reports and talking to the team and having thinking time and all that. But I think there is one thing that I do daily. Of course, I look at the stats and the data first thing, but there's another thing that I do daily. I look at the reviews. Every day I look at the reviews and we get lots of reviews every day. And I will always look at what the customer is saying about us, because I think as brands, we love to think that we know what customers love about us. But actually, I want to hear it from the customer in their own words. And I'm going to go through all the products, what people say about product XYZ, ABC, and say, oh, this is why you bought it. And I didn't know that actually this is the selling point that made you convert. And then I can use this in ads, in emails, everywhere. But I like to know what people like about the products, because honestly, we all give a million reasons to buy the products. But what's the one reason that made you buy, that made you talk about the brand to your friends, to someone else?
That is incredible. And like right now, my thoughts are going off where it's like, hey, can we have an export of all of these reviews? And let's tag each of these reviews with, like, you know, tag one could be they spoke about benefits. This is a specific benefit. Tag two is this, and like pivot it and look at all of those reviews and understand, okay, these are the reasons people are buying. Like you said, exactly. Take that information and build on our existing strategy. I think, yeah, let's definitely do that.
That's an easy one. We can even use AI for this if we want to. No, but it's true. We gotta listen to customers. We gotta listen to customers more.
Yeah, and create that feedback loop. Where can our listeners find you?
On LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. So Alex Luna. Actually, it might be my French name on it. So Alexandre Luna. And I'm on there. I am active. I learn a lot from my peers on LinkedIn as well, like new tests, new releases, and always up for a chat. I really like the whole conversation around the future of e-com, what's going on right now, what might happen in the future. I think it helps us to be better professionals, be prepared, and also having fun. It's always fun to connect with people in the space.
Amazing. Well, thanks for jumping on our podcast.
No, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me. That's a good chat.
Thank you.